Matthew chapter 27, we'll read verse 65. Same thought I've had for the last couple of times. It's actually the fifth message on hiding the truth. How it said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. Do your best to keep him out, to keep others from going in. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. I've said before, the devil doesn't want us to get the truth. He knows if we realize and acknowledge the truth, he's in trouble. He hides the truth. That's exactly what he was trying to do in that tomb that day, for Jesus is the truth. And if he got out, the devil was going to be in trouble. Same thing's true today. He does his best to hide the truth from us. We're looking at the strategy of Satan, what his plan was to keep the truth from getting out. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The devil still tries to keep the truth from getting out. That's what he did with Eve. He beguiled her. He tricked her. He convinced her. That's what we're looking at. That he tries to convince. The devil tries to. He wants to deceive. He doesn't care if you believe a lie. In fact, he'd be thrilled if we believe him instead of the Lord. He tries to deceive us. And he does that by the same way he did with Eve. He talks to us. Those thoughts that we have, they're not all ours. Much of it is him, the devil. We need to be able to determine and discern who's speaking to us. And listen, who we're listening to. He tries to deceive by talking to us. He'll talk to us about conflicts and closeness and covetous and compromise and comparison and so forth and so on. I want to say this morning, the devil will talk to us about conduct. He's trying his best to keep the truth from getting to us. And he'll talk about what we are doing. He doesn't mind it too much. What we do, he says, is important. And it is. But he doesn't want us to realize there's more to it than just what we do. Our conduct is important. I may get there sometime today. But we need to realize that there's more to it than just conduct. Turn with me to Matthew 15. I want you to look at a couple of verses this morning. I want you to follow with me just a couple of verses. Matthew 15, verse 19. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus said, he's the truth, by the way, and he tells the truth. And the devil doesn't want us to get this. Just a portion of the verse I'll read. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. I can stop there. Jesus said the truth is that out of the heart, from inside. I could rephrase that. He's not talking about the human heart, that organ that pumps. He's talking about inside. And we could rephrase that and say, in your mind, inside you. In our thoughts, he says these things come from our mind or our heart. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. He said this sin starts in our heart or our mind. Listen, hear me. It starts with a thought. Where'd that thought come from? Now, I know that the flesh is involved. Sure it is. But the devil also is involved. He plants thoughts in our mind. The devil says, oh, don't worry about it. But the Lord said our sin, our conduct begins in our mind. I said, in the devil plants thoughts. He whispers in our ear about things that are wrong. Now, those songs, that first instant, you can't do a whole lot about. It's kind of like riding on a crowded elevator and there's somebody beside you using obscene language. Well, you're there and you hear it, and you probably can't do a lot to stop it, but you can try to reject what it does in your mind. And that's exactly how it is with the devil. He whispers those words, those thoughts in our mind, and that first second of hearing those words is like hearing that person curse beside you. It isn't your fault, and at that point, it isn't sin. But what we do with those thoughts determine whether it's going to be sin or not. If we continue on those thoughts and harbor those thoughts and think those thoughts, it can become, in fact, not only can become sin, it will become sin. That's why David said in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Those words that he prayed, he didn't utter one word about what he was doing. He didn't say, "Lord, show me what I've been doing. And I've been doing anything wrong, show me." That's not what he's praying about. He's praying about his thoughts, what he's been thinking. He's praying about his attitude. And the reason is because it's important what we think. It's important how our attitude is. Now turn with me to Matthew 5:28. Not too far from where you're at. And maybe your work will be done this morning. Matthew 5:28. Jesus again is speaking. I say he speaks the truth. The devil will say, "Oh, it's important what you do, but that's all." Well, that's a lie. There is more importance in what we do. There is an importance of what we're thinking or our attitude. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, But I say unto you, he said before, "You have heard, but I say," here's the truth, "that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Here Jesus says it's more than just the fact, listen to me, that sin starts with our thoughts. It does. Anytime we ever sin, it began with a thought about that sin. And we didn't deal with the thought, and it progressed to when we finally did what we were thinking. Well, Jesus said here is more than just the fact that sin started with a thought. He said, listen, a thought can be a sin. Notice what he said, that he looks on a woman and lusts after her, hath, past tense, already hath committed adultery with her in his heart. I say this morning, the devil may mention every once in a while, you may not agree with this, about how bad it is for us to do bad. But the reason he does that is because he wants us to ignore the fact that it's not just what we do that's sinful, but it's what we think. Our thoughts can be sinful if we don't deal with them. So it's more than just conduct. It's our attitude. It's our thoughts. Jesus said, "This man that hath looked on this woman has already in his heart committed adultery." He has already sinned. It has already taken place. Now, we don't think much about that, but we better. Because the Lord takes it quite seriously. He says that hatred is as much a sin as murder. He says greed is as much sin as robbery. He says covetousness is as much sin as larceny. He says that pride is as much sin as being a thief. He says that greed is a sin and anger is a sin. Wanting revenge is a sin. It's not just our conduct you know, we'll probably do something about that. We'll probably, hopefully, admit what we've done wrong. But there's more to it than just that. It's what we fought. It's our attitude that matters also. And we need to deal with our attitude just as abruptly as we do our actions. I say this morning, there's different consequences for the sin. And I mean, listen, if you think about adultery, it doesn't have the same consequences as if you commit adultery. And if you think about robbing the bank, it's not near the consequences as going to rob the bank, but it's still sin. In the eyes of God, it needs to be dealt with as sin. I hope you're getting the message this morning. I say this morning, one of the most sinful places on earth is not the bar stove or the prison cell or the red light district. It's the church pew and the church pulpit. For it is our not only our conduct, but our thoughts that make a difference and our attitude that makes a difference. And the Lord, hey, you may be able to commit this sin and nobody ever know it. There may be people here this morning that's been committing the same type of sin for years in your mind or your heart. And no one knows it, but God does. And He says, I am as angry about that sin as any other sin. And I want you to confront that sin as it is. The truth is, it's wrong. It grieves me and it hurts you. And it hinders my work and your life and your ministry for me. I'm talking about the devil doesn't want us to worry about what we think or our attitude, but the Lord knows our thoughts. Psalm 139 verse 2 says, Thou knowest my thought afar off. Psalm 94 verse 11, The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. I tell you, I said already, you may be able to hide it from others. Let me rephrase that. We may be able to hide it from others, but we're not hiding it from Him. He knows our thoughts, and that's why we should deal with our attitude as abruptly as our actions. That's why Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, Let the wicked forsake his way, his actions, his conduct, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He said we are to address our thoughts that are wrong. Our attitude that is wrong. And the verse continues by saying, And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. He said, If you realize there's something you're doing that's wrong, get it right. But he says, If you realize there's something you're thinking that's wrong, your attitude that's wrong, you may have not even acted on it, but you're thinking it. You're letting it roll in your mind. He says, Get right with it. Get right about it. The devil talks to us about conflicts and closeness and covetousness and compromise and comparison and conduct. And he also talks to us about confession. I'm talking this morning about what the devil tells us. He says, hey, listen, those thoughts and that attitude. Now, we know it ain't right, but it ain't that bad. But God says it is that bad. And the devil talks to us about confession. He tries his best to get us to never say, I'm wrong. Some of us avoid I'm sorry like the plague. To ever admit that we've done wrong or that we are wrong, and we have failed to realize the danger and the damage and the destruction that we've caused because of it. Confession means I admit my fault. I no longer excuse myself. So many times the devil will say, well, that person, if it wasn't for that person, I wouldn't do that way. You wouldn't do that way. The devil tries to excuse us, give us reason to excuse our actions or our thoughts or our attitude. We think about, well, that person did this and I reacted this way. or my problems, if I didn't have such a rough life, if it wasn't so hard, if I didn't have this going on, I wouldn't act this way. Or my past, if I wasn't raised this way, if they hadn't treated me this way, if my mama hadn't been so mean, if my daddy hadn't whipped me so much. We think of all kinds of things. Did you hear me? We think of all kinds of things. Wonder where those thoughts come from. To try to excuse our actions. But confession means I admit my blame. I admit my wrong. And more than that, it means I'm sorry. We excuse ourselves. And the devil's got us convinced that that's okay. I have a reason to act the way I do. I have a reason to think like I do. I have an excuse, but I don't think the Lord excuses us. I don't think that excuse holds water in heaven. Confession means we admit our fault. But more than just admitting it, see, some people won't even admit it. Some are so callous they won't even recognize, don't even recognize they're wrong. I want to tell you something. If you're the kind of person that never admits you're wrong, you're in trouble. I feel sorry for you and your family because they're going to suffer the consequences along with you. We ought to be quick to say, I'm wrong. We ought to be quick to say, that wasn't right. We ought to be quick to say, we ought to be quick to agree with the Lord about what He says about our lives. Confession means I'm quick to admit my wrong. I acknowledge that I didn't do right. I acknowledge that I did wrong. But more than just admitting it and being honest about it, it means I'm sorry about it. Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know why? He's not only saw what he had done wrong, but he was sorry about what he had done. David, no doubt, as he was praying for that little baby, he wept and moaned to the Lord because he was sorry for what he had done. And he was seeing the consequences of what he did. He mourned over his actions and his attitude. And these men that repented like that, that confessed like that, that were broken like that, that were sorry like that, that wept like that, not only were admitting their wrong, but they were saying, I'm sorry about it. And the devil doesn't want you to do that. He'll give us excuses to explain away our wrong and our failure. He'll try and stop us from confessing as we should. Real confession means I admit my wrong. I'm sorry for my wrong. But real confession includes repentance, which means I stop doing wrong. That means change. How many times do we admit that we did wrong? And maybe even sorry that we did wrong, but we don't change our actions and we don't address our attitude and we don't correct it. Well, we didn't repent. Repentance means a change of mind, which results in a change of actions. We stop doing what we've been doing that displeases the Lord. And the devil will say, being sorry for it's enough. But that's a lie. Being sorry for our sin and making a promise in our mind to try and do better falls far short. For true confession is, again, admitting my wrong, being sorry for my wrong, repenting of it, and changing my actions or attitude. That's why the devil doesn't want us to get the truth. That's why he wants us, as long as, hey, you think he cares? If we admit to the Lord that we've done wrong, and do you think the devil even cares if we're sorry about our wrong? As long as we don't change, as long as we go right back and do the same thing again, the devil laughs at our so-called confession, I believe, because that changed life. That's what the devil's afraid of. Well, I've mentioned this morning, it's been a good morning already, I can tell. It's going over about as good as I expected it to. Hey, you know what? The devil wants us to be the lie. He doesn't want us to get the truth. The devil talks to us, trying to convince us that his way is right, what he's saying is wrong, is right, and what God said is wrong. Isn't that what he did with Eve? But I got a question. Who was right, God or the devil? Who should have Eve listened to? Well, who should we listen to? Who's right and who's wrong in our day, the devil or the Lord? He's trying to convince us by talking to us. Those words, those voices, that thought in our mind. He talks to us about conflicts, closeness, covenants, compromise, comparison, conduct, confession. And this is the last thing, and I'm saying amen as much as you are for right now. He talks to us about contentment. I believe this is one of the devil's most successful tools of our day. Here it is. Here's what I'm saying. Here's the word I'm using contentment for. Here it is. You're okay. You all right? About as good as anybody else. About average for nowadays. I am convinced the devil's biggest tools in attacking the family of God, which means you if you're saved, is getting us content where we're at spiritually. For he fears improvement in the life of God's child. He doesn't want us closer to God than we are. He doesn't want us hungry for the Lord. He doesn't want to see a church grow and souls get saved and people alive. He wants to see people half asleep on Sunday morning, not even listening to the preacher. And he's working his way pretty good. He uses contentment. You're all right where you're at. I have a question. Do you think the Lord's content with where we're at? Do you think he says, I am so pleased with that bunch down there? Got a question. Do you think the Lord is pleased? And you don't have to answer out loud. You ain't going to anyway. I wouldn't either by sitting on the pew listening to this. But I just tell you, I don't think the Lord's content. I don't think the Lord's satisfied with us. I believe he wants us to improve. Now listen, we can excuse ourselves if we want to. Had a rough past. So did I. A lot of bad stuff happened to me. Sure, me too. That person, that problem, that situation, I would do better. Improvement. I would do better if it were not for fill in the blank. That's an excuse. We can excuse ourselves, but if we excuse ourselves, we will not improve. You got me? Because I'm content where I'm at as long as I can excuse myself. I can come up with an excuse. Hey, no, the devil gave us that excuse. We're listening to him. That's his lies. That's his voice. He's talking to us and convincing us that we're all right. But we're not all right. We have not yet arrived. We need to, all to, should get closer to him, the Lord. So we can excuse ourselves or we can improve, but you can't do both. Did you get that? As long as I excuse myself, I will never improve. And if I improve, I have got to stop excusing myself and say, Lord, you are right. I need help from you. I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not as close as I should be. I don't obey you like I ought to. I do believe the devil's lies way too much. We can excuse ourselves or we can improve, but we'll never do both. So I'll say this and I'm done. The Lord tells us the truth all the time. And the devil lies to us all the time. And the only way he'll ever use any truth is to twist it to make it into his lie. So who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to listen to? I mentioned this morning conduct. What we do is important. But it's more than that. It's our attitude. It's our thoughts. Those thoughts can be as sinful as conduct. And I have talked about confession. It's more than just saying I'm sorry. It's more than just being sorry. It's changing, stopping, starting, and then contentment, not being satisfied where we're at. The world, the church world, is content. We need to break out of that somehow. We need to understand the devil's success in this point of keeping us asleep and satisfied. And no wonder he closed up the tomb. No wonder he put the soldiers. His plan was to keep that truth from people. Because if we ever get the truth, the devil's in trouble. Well, I'm done. I say amen too. But I know this. I tried to convince the Lord again this morning to give me something sweet. I really do have good messages. I really do have some sweet ones. I really do. But I sure do want to say what the Lord wants us to hear. You know what? The reason the Lord is abrupt with us sometimes is because He wants to help us. He wants to help us. He loves us. He wants to help us. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, I beg you, run down this altar and call on the Lord. If you're here and you are saved, I ask you two things. Number one, stop listening to the devil. Number two, listen to the Lord, even about this invitation. Let's stand together.